Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above today, August 12th, 2020. It's started out as a very chilly morning this morning, 51 degrees outside. Reminds me of fall. And it is now. I just saw the sun is popping out. So maybe it'll turn out to be a nice day after all. And I hope wherever you are having pleasant weather, pleasant days, and lots of hopeful opportunities coming up for you. We have quite a bit to talk about today, even though as I looked at the day, I thought, there's nothing to talk about today. That's never true, of course, with me, and you guys know that. I can usually find something, drumming up something to chat about, and of course, there is. And this morning, we start out with the moon having moved out of Taurus, and that was like at 6:47 this morning, moving into the sign of Gemini. So of course, there's stuff to talk about, right? The moon is now in the sign of the communicator, so we'll have plenty to talk about. As far as the moon is concerned and what it means in Gemini, although today there aren't any moon type transits or aspects happening that we need to be concerned about. That doesn't mean that there isn't anything going on though, because in the background, we have a couple of big things. One is Mars in a square to Pluto that we're building up to that actually is exact tomorrow. But because the nature of those two powerful planets coming together, we're feeling that energy already. We've probably started feeling it even yesterday. And Mars in Aries, a sign he rules, very powerful there. Pluto in Capricorn, not necessarily a sign he rules, but has been very powerful in transforming the landscape of our lives, the institutions that we are a part of, the governments, economies, etc. And as these two come together, they spell power, P-O-W-E-R, in a very interesting sort of way that we'll look at. Then yesterday, we talked a little bit about the sun in conjunct to Neptune and how that was kind of draining, feeling like our energy was drained or that it was clouding things up. Well, today that becomes exact. And I cannot believe I didn't bring this up. I think I glossed over it one day about the South Node in Sagittarius in a conjunction to the galactic center. And that's really what I want to start with this morning, because that seems to be the biggest light bulb moment, I think, for all of us. And the light bulb coming on because the galactic center is the emitter, the transmitter of all of the big energies that come in through the solar system in terms of the cosmic waves, the gamma rays, the neutrinos, and all of the high energy particles that are emitted through that center and down in through the universe. And that's something that can create a lot of change or mutation on the planet and throughout the galaxy. Really, it's not just Earth, but because we're Earthlings, we'll talk about it from the Earth perspective. And then as well today, we end up at the 13 illuminating, which is our Pleiadian energy for the day. It spells completion, right? And our movement from one level to the next in preparation for what comes new tomorrow. And so this is completion, integration, ascension. We're returning to source for sort of the clarity on what comes next. So it's interesting that we have that in respect of the galactic center to talk about today as well. And I just took a peek to see, now how does the galactic center's degree connect with the South Node right now through our astrology, but also through our human design? And interestingly enough, those nodes shifted last week. Remember, they moved into the gate 12, the North Node at the gate 12, and the South Node at the gate 11, the gate of light, right? Coming up out of obscurity into the light of idealism, and then ultimately just into the bright of the light. And so we can look at it against that backdrop now that we are becoming more aware of human design as well. Let me take a quick check-in over here and see how everybody's doing this morning. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Monique and J-Lo, Jennifer and Amy and Sally Bowen. Good to see you, Amanda Jeffs. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, it is 100 degrees here with a humidity factor. Ugh, ugh. And I'm whining, Debbie, because on Sunday, it's going to be 84, right? And to me, that is extraordinarily hot because I live on a place that really gets above 70, 75, and 84 to me seems quite warm. So I feel for you, sister. Amanda says, hello, everyone. Mimi, good morning. Loanne, good morning. And Pauline Solia, first time on your YouTube. Well, welcome, Pauline. It's great to have you join your energy with ours. And if there's any questions you have, please let us know. Mimi says, Debbie, I so remember the constant sauna. You know, for a short time in my career, I lived my career when I was out in the work world. I was transferred from SoCal, where, you know, the summers were warm, but I lived on the coast, so we always had warm breezes, and I didn't notice growing up as a child that it was hot. It just seemed normal. Well, we moved from there to San Antonio, Texas, which I thought was the most beautiful city, but we moved in May, so it was, you know, upping toward the 80s and 90s, and then in the summertime, oh my God. It was 100 degrees plus 90% humidity, so it often felt like 106, 110, like I'd walked into a sauna. I did not like that there at all. Jules, good morning. Amanda says, at Debbie, it's so hot here in the UK too. Ah, we have no air conditioning here generally. We aren't ready for this heat. Ooh, that's terrible. Sally, at Debbie, wow, where are you? Pauline, seventh house south node in Aquarius retrograde. So what I'm going to ask all of you to do, if you happen to have your either your human design chart, actually no, I want you to have your astrology charts with you. And I want you to take a look at where 27 to 28 degrees of the sign of Sagittarius is in your chart, because that will help you get kind of connected to what it is that we're doing here this morning. And be able to see what house that is in your chart, so you know where this area of your life is that's being affected by that. Sun, 4 degrees. Sally Bowen, it's so nice here in Virginia. Good morning, Valerie. Good morning. And to moon signs, I think that's Tati. Good morning to you. Paulina says she came from Oneness Talk Radio with Suri and Kira. Nice people. And Sally says that... I'm not sure what she means. I missed the rest of that. That's my rising sign, 27 degrees, Sagittarius. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So that means the South Node, Sally, is sitting right on your rising sign. So something big is shifting within you. Maybe you're letting go of old dogmas or old beliefs. Maybe you're looking at the bigger T, capital T truths, which I really love to talk about. And what are those capital T truths, right? It's not what we think that we hear in the news. It's not what the conspiracy theorists say. There's something so much bigger going on. But what is that truth? And what does that mean to you? That's the important thing. Debbie Tippett's Northwest Florida. Oh, she's talking to someone else. Patricia Woods, 28 degrees midheaven in Sag. So that means 27 degrees falls on the ninth house side of your chart. You're in expansion mode, right? What are you growing into in terms of maybe your authority? What is it that you're letting go of to make room for more? Moon sign says 27 degrees Sag is in my third house. Communication, speaking, your mind, right? What are you letting go of in your mind? Ali Loanne says, don't have that kind of chart. Well, Loanne, go to my website, living-astrology.com, and request your free astrology chart, because that's also free. And you can have that with you every morning when I'm talking, so that you can be looking at your own chart and comparing what I'm saying to what's going on in your own personal chart. Puffing Pixie, hello, 24 Sag Sun, 26 IC. So the fourth house. So you're changing up ancestral patterns, it sounds like, Puffing Pixie. And Sally says, I'm letting go of murkiness. Ah, Amy, it's in my fourth house, and IC is 9 degrees Sag, so it's further into your fourth house. Again, mother, home, family, traditions, maybe separating yourself out from the ancestral lines. You're welcome, Loanne. Valerie, galactic center is at 26 degrees. Vertex at 23 in the fifth house, engaging in more play, more creativity, love, romance. It sounds like that you are letting go of maybe some old ideas about all work and no play, or how work comes first, perhaps. We'll see how that plays out for you. Pauline Solia in the sixth house at 27 degrees Sagittarius moon. So you have a very emotional connection. This is in the house of health and the house of the work you do and the people you surround yourself by in your workplace. So it makes me wonder about your health and what are you primed to heal at this particular time. And Valerie, love that. Indeed, Puffing Pixie, thank you. You're very welcome. So we're going to take a look at that deeper. So why don't we just jump in, because there's some really great information about this. Now, first, let's chat about what is the South Node, because maybe you don't even recognize that term that I'm using. So the South Node and the North Node comprise an axis. Yesterday, we called it the line of destiny. And I don't know where that came from. I just sort of threw that out there yesterday because it reminds me that it really is something that's emitted to us out of the galactic center and brought here onto this planet. You all have it somewhere in your chart where your nodal axis shows you where it is that you're holding the gifts and the talents, the experiences from every lifetime and this lifetime, and how you are meant to move that into a new direction in this lifetime. Usually through human design, we see that happens about age 38 to 42, right in combination with your Uranus opposition. And it's a time where sort of revolution and rebellion and shakeups happen in your life that reorient you toward the North Node. But the South Node is always there, right? It's not like you just, you know, let go of everything that you brought with you. You still have all of that equipment, if you will, all those gifts and the talents that you brought with you here. And the South Node is the repository of that. So the South Node, though, is a place where we have to learn to avoid the rigid ideological traps, right? Because sometimes we get caught up in our beliefs, in almost arrogant in our beliefs. There's a self-righteousness that comes through that Sagittarius energy, right? That I'm right, you're wrong. You need to go get more information because you got to find out that I'm right. So Sagittarius has that blunt communication, and they often are very involved and invested in their own opinions and their own beliefs, right? That are often based on their culture, their religion, their political ideology. And often there is this, you know, this rub going on between belief systems when South Node is sitting in the sign of Sagittarius. So we're going to be dealing with this now for 18 months. So we might as well kind of get a grip on where this is. The galactic center is where we come from, right? If you think of it, I often think of it as the source of the source of all that is, right? Even the Mayans felt like it was the cosmic heart of the universe. It was the source from which, you know, evolution occurred. All the new energies come into us from the galactic center, and the energies emitted from the galactic center at times have a bigger impact, especially over these last couple of years where we've had low sunspot activity. So there's lower magnetism. So a lot of those particles made their way into the planet, where when there's a lot of sunspot activity, the sun's magnetic field is protecting and shielding the Earth in some ways from the strongest of these particles. So right now, the sun is starting to beef back up, but all of that, you know, mutational energy has already been brought into the planet. So we're sitting here in the midst of a time where change is occurring. I don't think there's anybody out there that would question that, right? It's so plain. It's right like the plane of day on our faces. So now when the South Node sits at the galactic center, remember, is the source for new, for mutational energy, for evolutionary impulses, right? The pulses that come in that create a change. When I was learning the Mayan calendar, I was doing that on Carl Kalman's information, and he describes the energy being emitted to the planet from the cosmic sun, or the galactic center, if you will, as wave impulses. And those wave impulses come in and they interfere. They create an interference pattern that disrupts what's going on the planet in the current moment. And I mean, this is happening all over the universe, but because we live here, I'm going to use it as this particular planet. And those interference waves create change and evolution for us. They disrupt things. And you can tell our world is completely disrupted. This little tiny virus has disrupted everything, no matter where you believe it came from or what its sources or beginnings. It has been an interference pattern that has created disruption on the planet. Well, what is that disruption all about? I mean, we could look at a lot of different things, but in the meantime, the biggest challenge is to our conditioning. Now, conditioning is a word I use frequently with human design, because human design shows us quite clearly in the white spaces of the chart, your white centers, your white channels, your white gates, where it is that you're taking in whatever's available around you, magnifying that and rebroadcasting it as if it were your own energy. But it isn't your own energy, right? It's either the people from around you that you've absorbed it from, maybe your parents, maybe the institutions like education or the healthcare system, whatever it is you've been involved with, and you're taking in that, and it somehow causes you to believe that you're something that you're not. And then immediately when I do a human design reading, everybody's like, I knew that wasn't me, right? You get to see in graphic detail in a human design chart what's yours, because it's colored in, it's broadcasting. But here in the South Node, what we're looking at are all the places where we have been conditioned. So I think the human design chart is very good at helping us to see that more clearly. Now, the South Node sitting at the galactic center has us questioning the dogmas, the fallacies, the outdated beliefs that have been on this planet. And the last time, by the way, that the South Node was in this area was in 2001, when here in the United States, we had the Twin Towers attacked, and there was a battle of ideologies, right, between the mostly Muslim or Islamic world and the Western world, right, that battle, that coming together, and we had to adjust our own beliefs about these particular people or this particular religion, and how that bedded up against our own dogmas and our own religious beliefs and our own traditions and so forth, where it was we were being intolerant of other people's beliefs, and also for them, where they were being intolerant of the Western world's beliefs. So it's not like it just happens here in the US, it's everywhere. So whatever it is that is happening on the planet during times like this, really, it's global, and it calls us all up to look at our beliefs and our fallacies, our dogmas, etc. And if we take this all in and we're very aware that this is happening, it can be the source of a huge leap in our consciousness, a rapid expansion outward from us, or a rapid expansion inward to where we are embracing a new belief system. Infinity enters the conversation here. Infinity, the idea of what is that we see is not all the truth, right? That we get to look at our self-righteousness. We get to look at our stuck, rigid patterns. And because the North Node is in Gemini, it causes us to become more inquisitive and curious about, well, what does it mean on the other side? What's on the other side of this wall that we've built, right? What's on that other side that we could see, that we can embrace, that we can grow from, right? Now, how is it affecting you as a person? Well, here in all of this, if I had thought about this, I would have realized what was going on with me earlier in the week. This will be in effect, and has been in effect since August 7th-ish, and all the way through the 21st-ish. And I say ish because there's always that kind of waning and waxing aspect, right, where we might feel it for a time to come, from in before the exact, and then also for after the exact. And it causes us to be extra sensitive right now, kind of disoriented. That's what I was really feeling on Monday, is this, I'm not sure if my feet are on the ground. I'm not sure if my ideas about who I was or am is real. on, you know, am I really embracing something that isn't true to me? I mean, I was really going all of through that. What's right? What's wrong? What's true? What's false? Look at the media right now, right? We can't even determine if a story that's coming to us from the media is left or right, or right or wrong, or up or down, or true or false, right? All of that is being shaken loose as then we are forced to have to let go of our old beliefs, our old mode, outmoded way of thinking. You can question yourself at this point then, are your beliefs helping the evolution on this planet or aren't they? And if they aren't, it's time to let them go. Otherwise, you're part of the problem on the planet and not part of the solution. So looking at your beliefs, looking at what it is you take in every day from the outer world, and it goes through all your filters, right? It's like, have you ever seen those big sifter boards that they have when they're mining gold, for example? They'll put the rocks on there and then they shake it up, a shaker box, I think they call it. And, you know, the gold being heavy, you know, stays and the other pieces shake through. Well, that's what's happening right now. Everything that you take in goes through your filters, your shaker box, and some things fall out and go away. And what's left are your true beliefs. And then if you look at that, is what you're doing, is what you're filtering in, truth, or is it just truth in the moment? Is it a bigger T truth? Is it a wider truth? Or not? And if so, is that belief helping evolution on the planet or not, right? So we are here right now in this moment confronting prejudice. We are confronting our limiting beliefs. We are confronting all of the stigmas, the cultural stigmas especially. I don't even know how I got this article about a woman who was elected to the House of Representatives, I believe, in the state of Georgia, and she has a past of making racist comments, anti-Semitic comments, and she had specifically made some really disparaging comments about the two Muslim women who had been elected to the Congress. And I thought, right there, right, confronting prejudice, our own prejudices. And, you know, that's a pretty unconscious thing that I think she's probably said or done, but it stands as a great model for all of us to look at. Where are we embracing those kinds of beliefs, right? And how is it that we can let go? Now, I found a really great quote about the Galactic Center that I want to share with you. This is from an astrologer named Nisa Grazda, likely from Europe somewhere, maybe. She says, this conjunction, meaning the South Node to the Galactic Center, challenges our understanding of what it means to be free and reveals how some individuals have their freedoms on the backs of those who aren't afforded the same rights and privileges. The Sagittarian South Node wants to preserve its faith in exceptionalism because to hold the moral high ground is to hold power. But the Galactic Center asks, what if our morals and principles have been born of misplaced idealism and injustice? If so, how can we interrupt this story? I could not have said that better myself. And when I read that, I went, that is exactly what we are all in the struggle with right now, disrupting the old belief patterns in order to create or write a new story of evolution, how we became tolerant of one another, how we embraced our differences, and how we let go of polarizing dogmas and ideologies and instead became more inclusive and more embracing of all that is out there, of the capital T truths, right? So that is a process. I can't imagine that it's all going to break and be coming up roses here in this particular transit. But I would say that maybe the more we talk about this and we look at our beliefs and what we have held as a cherished sort of dogma and letting it go, right? Just opening it up and letting it go, looking at, you know, what more is possible, then we have some opportunities to really effect change here on the planet. Now, in your own chart, as I said, your dogmas, your beliefs, your self-righteousness, your arrogance, your all of the ideological stuff is sitting at the galactic center in your own personal chart. And we saw where a couple of things like that were popping up, people sharing where their galactic center was. And I'm going to show you in a chart. I'm going to share, first of all, let me make sure I've got it up here. There it is. This is the chart of the day, but remember, we always pretend that this is a person and we look at the chart through that field. And if we look at this chart, I'm going to make it just a titch bigger, not because I think you're blind, but because I got to remember that, you know, it's easier to see when it's bigger. If you get a chart from me, you're going to find the galactic center spelled out G-A-L-A, and it sits at 27 degrees, 5 minutes of Sagittarius, and the south node right now is at 27 degrees 43 minutes. Now, the south node is moving this direction, right? It's moved. Can I annotate this thing? Let's see if I could do this without making a mess. Let's use this color. The galactic center is stationary pretty much, but the south node, everything in an astrology chart is usually moving in this direction, right? Counterclockwise, unless it's retrograde or unless it's one of the nodes go this direction always. They're always backing into a sign and moving from the 29th degree down to the 0 degree. So we have yet to see these two actually come into the exact conjunction, although that will be soon coming, because the south node is at 2743. It's going to have to get to 2705 before it moves. Now, the galactic center moves as well, but across the backdrop of a very large sky, it literally only appears to move about 1 degree every 72 years. So that means in a lifetime, a typical lifetime of a human being, well, anymore we're living beyond that, but let's just say for the sake of argument here, it's only going to move 1 degree in an entire lifetime, maybe a little more based on how old you are when you pass on. So it stays pretty static. So it's not like you have to worry about it transiting and moving on and getting out of your fifth house, sixth house, unless that's the degree of the changeover, as it was somebody's chart had that degree right at her ascendant. So of course, that means it's moving further into her first house. And I don't remember who that was, Sally maybe, or whatever. So if we look here, then the galactic center in this particular chart, if it were a person, we see that it's in the third house. So the third house being the house of the mind and communication and learning and teaching and all of the things that we think about come through that third house. So here we have maybe someone whose thoughts have been, if this were a person, remember this is just the chart of the day, but if this were a person, this person may have some very stringent thoughts, right? They find themselves in a rigid pattern of thinking, and that they're being asked to upset that thinking pattern right now. They're asked to be stepping out of it and learn something more. The third house is Gemini territory, and that means this person would be being asked to follow some new lines of curiosity, new ideas, new innovative thinking. Right? They're being asked to step out of any of those places where they've rigidly held on to some kind of thought pattern. And then examining their life even and their relative success or failure as they perceive it in their life through the lens of what are my thoughts based on? What are my thoughts focused on? So a big opportunity for the person in who would have this kind of setup to change their thinking, right? To get out of that old way of thinking. All right, so now wherever this is in your own personal chart is going to be where it is that you might have these rigid thought patterns. And I was thinking about this, someone, I can't remember who it was now, that had it in their sixth house. The sixth house is the house of health of the body, the physical body. It is a house of doing something, right? Taking the creative expression and putting it to work in the world. And it recognizes that this is where things get started, sort of the motor running behind the ideas and the creative impulses in Leo. It's a Virgo sort of ruled place in the chart, even though you're in this place, you might have Sagittarius here. And it might show you where you have consistent behaviors that are undermining your health or undermining the purity of your environment. So being able to look at it through the lens of the health of your atmosphere, of your environment, of your body, of your thinking, and everything that goes into creating the body or the health. Let's say you're someone who has that happening in the seventh house. Maybe you have, oh Lord, if I move the chart, then I'll move. That's funny. So over here, if it's in the seventh house, then you're looking at what beliefs you have about relationship, about who you are in the mirror of your relationships. Let's say it's in your 11th house. You may be having to look at the goals and the dreams that you have and your consistent thoughts around what is possible there. So wherever it is, whatever house it's in your chart is where you are personally turning on a light bulb, right? Turning on the light bulb to see more clearly. Now, where did I get the turning on the light bulb piece? Well, hold on. I'm going to show you here in your human design chart. Let's see. That would be in downloads. Turn that on. And let me share this chart with you. This is now the chart of the day chart. It's called a Just Now chart. And you can always get this at jovianarchive.com. And up in the top corner, it says resources. If you drop down that menu, it'll say Just Now chart. And if you click on that, it'll take and bring up a chart. So this is the chart of this morning. And I don't remember what time that was, but here we have what the chart looks like right now. And because we're talking about the South Node, that is what I'm going to hone on into here. And it's right there at the gate 11. The gate 11 is sitting on the Ajna. Interesting, because the sun right now is sitting at the gate 4 in the Ajna, and the planet Uranus is sitting at the gate 24 in the Ajna, and the Ajna is the center of the mind, right? Of what we think, of what we have certain, what we believe we have certainty about. And our certainty is being shaken up, right? Our certainty that the world works this way, A plus B equals C. But maybe A plus B equals C plus or C something else or D. And we're having to reevaluate all of the contents of the mind, right? Now, in the gate 4, the sun is having us look at that in terms of the questions that we ask and the answers that we give to the big questions in our lives. The gate 24 is showing us where we are addicted to rationalization, right? Where we rationalize everything. The gate 11 is about ideas, and it moves down toward the throat center. And the throat center is the gearbox in your human design. For those of you who are not familiar with human design, every center has an energy associated with it. The head center is about ideas and inspiration that come in from outside of us. And then the Ajna takes that energy in and it calculates, it has memory, it compares and contrasts, it analyzes, and then it has a theme, and that theme is certainty. And if it is defined in your natal chart, you have certainty about your beliefs. You could even say that you have fundamental beliefs that are yours that you broadcast, right? And these are probably the people who are having the most upset in the moment because the contents of their beliefs are being upside down for them, turned upside down. The people that have this natally open are probably not so sure about beliefs. They're more open-minded, if you will. And I'm not saying that, you know, that a defined Ajna is a closed mind. I'm just saying that persons with an open center here have taken a whole lot of different beliefs and a whole lot of different things, and they hold on to some and they don't hold on to everything. But now suddenly it's defined for them, and now you are open and available to look at the contents of your own belief systems as well. Now, when we look at them through the gate 11, what we're seeing is light. What we're seeing is allowing in the gene keys, what we talk about is allowing more and more light to transduce into the DNA, that the DNA, our very DNA, is the transducer of light. And if even one little pinpoint of light, Richard Rudd would say in the gene keys, if even one little pinpoint of light is available, we can focus on that light and make it bigger, right? So if we have the light of an ideal, a new thought, and we can focus some energy on it, we can make it bigger, right? We can make it bigger. We can bring more light into the system, and we can do that individually, right? Because we all have the gate 11 sitting here and it's defined for the moment. And we are bringing that sense of idealism into the planet. And that might mean we have a lot of weird ideas that come in, right? Not every idea that comes in, by the way, is meant to be taken action on. But without a pool of ideas, then we sit in a funk. We can't change anything if we don't have a new pool of ideas. So we have a new pool of ideas and new people, perhaps, that will be tossing those ideas out into the world and for us to evaluate for truth, right? Evaluate for the fit of a new paradigm. And I would encourage everybody at this point to follow their north node, the transiting north node into new ideas and new being curious, right? Following curiosity. What would happen if, right? What could happen if I put myself in someone else's shoes and I looked back, what would I see, right? Would I see some of the same things that I think about on a normal day, or would the view be so completely different that I have a whole new understanding of the people, that person or that ideal? So it's about opening up our minds and being more available to what is out there in terms of the light. All right. So I'm going to go over here to YouTube and look at people's questions, perhaps see what everybody's thinking about here. A lot of comments here. Camilla, good morning. And a young soul, you must be new too. It's great to see you. I agree about the news. They are trying to stress people out. I don't think that's their intention. I don't think the intention is. I think it's an unintentional byproduct of the news at this moment in time, right? I don't know that people are consciously out there saying, well, I'm just going to feed the world a bunch of news and stress them out. No, I think that is the interference wave that's being brought into the planet to shake us out of our reverie, to shake us out of our old beliefs. And that they're just picking up that energy, right? They're just picking it up and they're just bringing it in. And I doubt seriously that they're actually conscious about it, right? I don't know that anybody out there is very conscious. And we're, you know, that's where our greatest opportunity is right now, is to bring more consciousness in, to be more purposeful in what it is that we're doing and what it is that we're thinking and what we allow in, you know, to our being. Camilla says, a bit late today, but I'm glad I made it. We're glad to see you too. Let's see what else going on here. Hello, Rueda. J-Lo says, woohoo, my next life, I will make sure I come to see them connect in exact connected position. Okay. J-Lo, I just dig myself in some weird issues. I have a full 11th and 12th house. Yes, you do. So do I, right? The 11th and no, I don't have anything in the 11th, my 12th house, Sun and Mercury. And Kimberly, good morning. And I don't see any other questions here unless I'm missing them. Amanda, the galactic center is 26 Sag in the eighth house. North node is 29 Sag in the eighth house. So you, is that by transit for you right now, or is that where you have it in your natal chart? Because if so, that eighth house is a very powerful house of transforming, right? Of death and rebirth and of really shaking up. I think you might be addressing a lot of past life things in this particular lifetime as well. Amanda, so maybe a more difficult place for some people, but with your own, was it your north node there? Yeah, that you are specifically geared to bring in a transformation of sorts to the planet. Augustina, good morning to you. And okay, so Jennifer Peachy says 28 degrees Sag in first house. So is that your, so everybody here should have a, between 26 and 28 degree a galactic center based on, you know, the people that are on the planet right now. So wherever that is in your chart is likely where you have your own galactic center. That is where the south node is transiting through. If that is in your first house, then Jennifer, you're undergoing a personal transformation. So personally, you're almost in a way of being the model of what change is coming to the planet. So whatever inner changes are going on with you are the inner changes the planet's making. Whatever outer changes are going on with you are also the planet making those same changes. You're sort of the mirror of that. Okay, so much, right? So much stuff there. And Andy girl, good morning, Andrea, right? Or we'll go with Andy because then I don't have to butcher your name. but welcome. It's good to see you out there. So now let's go on to another thing that's happening today, and that is the Mars square Pluto aspect. Remember, we knew August, September, October, November, we are going to be dealing with a lot of Mars energy as Mars moves into his retrograde zone. So right now he's in the zone of his retrograde. He turns retrograde September 9th. So he's slowing down now to get to that phase. And he is sitting at the gate 42, I believe, today. And let me check for sure, because I just said that and now I'm pretty sure he's sitting there. Yes, he is gate 42. He is bringing something into completion. And he is in an obstacle sort of relationship right now with the planet Pluto. So Mars is in Aries and Pluto is in Capricorn. So this will be exact tomorrow, but this may be taking place right now where arguments, conflicts, power struggles are being triggered for all of us. We may be the recipient of provoking energy, bullying energy, dominating energy, or we could take this in hand and be very conscious of this energy and use it toward productivity, toward transforming, toward transcending something, right? As I put it this morning, as I wrote this down, the deep doo-doo is coming up for a cosmic, a universal, and a personal cleansing or flushing of the system. It is a purification, right? A purifying process. And especially if you have been suppressing or being oppressed in some way. So groups of people that have been suppressed or oppressed, you feel that energy, that anger, that recoil coming back up. But also in your own life, wherever you have been holding back something or where you have been afraid maybe to go into the void and look in the dark places, that possibility is coming up for us to look at for these next couple of days. As these two in a square, as you know, is always a challenge. There are obstacles on our path, things that we're going to stumble over. But it does give us the energy to embrace the process and to go through what it is that we need to in order to get to the light. In this case, again, we're getting to the light. So Mars in Aries, think about conflict, think about productivity, think about conversations that you have with people and how words are used in some cases as weapons. And we've been through a long period of time over the summer that we've looked at that. And, you know, through Mercury's retrograde and the north and south node before they moved to the gate 12 and 11, we're at the gate 10 and 15. And the 10 was about, you know, the words that we use on ourselves and that we use toward others and that we use to describe what's going on in our lives. So flush the old, bring in the new, right? That's the opportunity here. The sun in that in conjunct to Neptune is still activated today as well. We might feel drained. We may feel tired. Maybe we feel empty, like we just are empty. And I'm going to ask you to be okay with empty right now, because today is also the 13th day in our spiral of consciousness through the Pleiadian Earth energy. So if you're feeling out of sorts or not quite feeling yourself, go within. Go to that void, sit on the void, sit in the void, not on your pity potty, but sit in the void, in the place of nothing, no thing, right? And I think sometimes we're really afraid to go there, which is why we have our devices to keep us busy, why we have the news on all the time so that we have input, because we're afraid of the void. Right? Why we are always being busy, why we always feel we have to be doing something instead of being something. So today might be a really good day to embrace the void, shut it all down, right? Shut it down, go into the quiet place. Today we are at 13 illuminating energy. Illuminating in the Mayan calendar was Xuan, and Xuan was the representation of the monkey. And the monkey energy is kind of humorous. It kind of is a place where we can make fun of ourselves, where we can laugh, where we can, that there's the magic of humor, the healing power of laughter. And completion, integration, and ascension is what it's all about today as we've come to the end of the 13-day week that began with one catalyzing. So if you go back to, what was the date? That date, one catalyzing was, got to go way back. That was July 31st. July 31st was one catalyzing energy. So you go back to that day, discover what was catalyzed for you in that moment. What started? Catalyzing energy is like the fire, the flame, the lighter to light the flame. What was lit for you at that point in time? And now as we've moved through the other 12 intervening days and we've come to 13, we want to go back to the void for clarity, right? For integration. And in that void, we get sort of our marching orders for what comes next. We get a glimpse into, well, what is next in our grand round, right? What is our next step? And by the way, the correct flow of natural time in this calendar, as well as in the Mayan calendar, was sunset to sunset. So we're already halfway through the day of 13 illuminating because it began at sunset last night and will end at sunset tonight. At sunset tonight, we will go into the one, and what comes after illuminating, we will go into one choosing. I love it. What are we going to choose, right? Choice. I love choices. Makes it sound like we are at a huge choice point right now. Galactically, in Earth speak, we're at a choice point. Personally, we're at a choice point. So what is it that is coming to light for you during this day? We're illuminated through curiosity. Interesting. That's a connection to that Gemini North Node, as well as the moon today in Gemini. Curiosity and creativity, laughter and joy, healing what's out of balance in our lives. We go into the void, and in the void, we discover where we are out of balance and how do we correct that. And our choice is to immerse more deeply into the illusion or awaken to truth, right? Do you want to stay asleep? And you can. Keep listening to the news. Keep thinking everything that people tell you is true. Keep believing in all of your conspiracy theories and all of that stuff that's going on out there. Or turn it all off and awaken to something much bigger. Go within and find your real truth, which is inside of you. You're never going to have that denied to you. That is, it's impossible to have that denied to you. If you ask the question, the universe or God or source or your inner voice will give you the answer. You might not like the answer. I'm not saying you're going to like what your inner voice tells you, but certainly you will get the answer. Ask yourself, what else is possible? Right? What else is possible? Be authentic and be true to yourself and not the caricature of yourself, right? So we caricature, you know, are those like overblown drawings that, you know, if you walk down the boardwalks along the beaches sometimes or at fairs, you know, county fairs, state fairs, which of course we're not having this year, but, you know, there's often artists that do the caricature of yourself. Well, sometimes we're living that caricature instead of our truth, right? So today we get to course correct. Not only that, we're going within, because the next step, tomorrow's next step, today at sunset, the next step is choosing, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be with? What do I want to be involved in? Right? It's all your choice as to what comes next. I love it. So let's talk about the moon time-wise. Wow, the day flies when you're having fun. The moon in Gemini turned into Gemini actually at 6:47 this morning, my time. So 9:47 for those of you on the East Coast. And at that time, we move out of that feeling of Taurus, where we were dealing with maybe some rigid patterns, stubbornness. Maybe we were looking at how we could comfort ourselves through the senses, etc., into a very motion-oriented sign. Gemini rules motion, movement. I mean, like, I can't even talk without moving my hands as a Gemini because I'm always moving. In the case of the moon in Gemini, it rules automobiles, it rules transportation, trains, planes, and automobiles, short trips. It is a restless sort of energy. It's always in motion. Gemini moon rules learning and teaching. So we have factual information coming in. We have curiosity threads, I call it, that I pull to find out more, right? It rules your formal education. So what are you formally sitting down to learn? Media, internet is all ruled by Gemini. Curiosity, my favorite part of being a Gemini is that curiosity that just takes me into all kinds of places. Communication, also ruled by Gemini, writing, speaking, listening, teaching, understanding different opinions, different points of view, different filters. It rules logic, the awareness of options. Logic, I'm going to give you a new, you know, we think of logic as kind of scientific thinking or, you know, step one, step two, step three, right? It's logical, it's scientific, it's based in fact and figures and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to give you a new definition for logic, because in human design, we have three ways of knowing, only one of which is logic. And in logic, what we say is that we see a pattern and we can predict an outcome based on a pattern. So logic is really the ability to predict the future based on a pattern that is repeating, right? So we see that the moon or that the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. We can predict then that that is a pattern, right? We've seen it over time. And that's kind of logic, right? A logic based in fact, based in something we can see. But there's also the kind of logic that predicts a pattern, and then the pattern gets disrupted for some reason. Now, I'm not saying that the sun is going to suddenly rise in the west and set in the east, but we can disrupt logic in a human design through understanding or knowingness. Knowingness, I don't know how I know what I know, I just know. And the other way of knowing is intuition. So here, right, this is a mind that is looking logically at things, clever, ingenuity, being variable and having a variety of ideas and so forth. Social skills also come in to Gemini energy through acceptance, quick thinking, wittiness, being sociable, having humor. Relationships, the sign of Gemini rules the relationships of proximity as, what is her name in the New Moon astrology book, Jan Spiller, she calls it relationships by proximity. So your neighbors, your schoolmates, or your roommates, or your siblings are all in Gemini energy. So watch for phone calls from your bros and your sisters. What to watch out for? Overactive mental processing. Excessive questioning, trickery with words, right? Flowery words that don't mean anything because there's the superficiality quotient here. What's superficial, right? Nervousness and indecision, also a part of Gemini. The more negative expression of those energies. And in the body, of course, the hands, I'm always talking with them, wrists, arms, shoulders, hay fever, lungs, and the whole idea of breathing. Gemini tends to breathe really shallowly. I find myself doing that all the time, almost as in it helps me be invisible. So I have to remind myself to breathe. Take a full breath and exhale that breath. Also the nervous system. And because we have so many other things going on out there, our nervous systems right now are really on our last nerves, right? We're really on that thin thread in our nervous system. So another reason why going into the void can be very helpful. Going into the void, your nervous system has an opportunity to de-stress, right? To let go and not be so caught up in everything that is happening. Okay. Well, gosh, that's it for me today. It is 8:54. I did that within an hour. I'm so proud of myself. Let me take a last look at questions or comments. Loanne says her screen froze. Oh my gosh, that happens to me periodically. Yes, the other one, Loanne, is called the Natal Astrology Chart. And please, thank you, Puffing Pixie. Everybody, please hit like, the thumbs up button, to let everybody know that you've liked the video. If you feel like it, please hit subscribe, right? That helps me get my numbers up. And as well, make comments under the video after we're done today. I do try to go back every day and read those comments and respond if appropriate. And I really appreciate when you are all interacting with me that way, as well as in the morning with your comments. If you are listening to this through Blog Talk Radio, you can always go to YouTube or any of the other iPod or what is that called? Stitcher. Apple Tunes, all of those things. If you're listening to it as a podcast, you can always come back to YouTube, look at the channel, see the charts and so forth that I show on the screen, and leave your comments, thumbs up, and your hitting the subscribe button for me. Let's see, J-Lo, makes sense to me as a Gemini ascendant. I am always on my tiptoes as a quick thinker. Me too, I get that. Jules, so many powerful messages today. You are most welcome. Some days are just inspired days, right? Where we can just sort of take a look at so many really good things. And I always think that it's in the right and perfect time. And there's something else I should have talked to you all about, but maybe I'll do this one tomorrow. And that is that Mars, our favorite warrior god, is conjunct the black moon Lilith and is only 2 degrees, less than 2 degrees away from a conjunction to goddess Eris. And she's the goddess of discord. And I just think it's striking that it was Kamala Harris yesterday who Joe Biden chose as his running mate for the upcoming election here in the U.S. because she is sort of, I think she's kind of a cross between, I swear she's a cross between Eris and Lilith. And a perfect sort of representation of this sort of upsetting energy that is happening right now in Aries, setting us up to move in a new direction. So tomorrow we'll talk about the shadow as embodied by the Black Moon Lilith and Mars' conjunction to the two shadow ladies, right? Eris and the Black Moon, and what that means for what might be coming up. Because I think there's some really gold nuggets here that we can look at. In terms of the chart. And of course, it's also happening in your own personal chart, right? Wherever 22 to 24 degrees of Aries is where this crazy sort of change up is happening, where you have to address your shadow, and it may create some discord in the process. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Amanda, thank you so much. Learned so much here. I thank you. Mimi, LOL. I was thinking more along the lines of Athena and Eris for Kamala. Eric, Eris, is that what you mean? Pallas Athena, actually, though, she's in Capricorn right now. So she might be carrying a Capricorn torch too. I'd have to look at her astrology. Maybe I'll pull that up today sometime if I get a chance, because I think it'd be fun to see the difference. I think Joe Biden is a Gemini. And it would be interesting to see what she is and whether they work well together or not. It seems like sort of a mismatch to me, but oh well. what can we say, right? Anyway, that is it for me this morning. Everybody, please have a wonderful day. Remember, we have Mars squaring Pluto. That can cause us provocation, conflict, or confrontation. Confront your own self, right? Confront your own shadows. Go into the deep place and look for your own answers. They're there. All right. Take care, everybody.